This morning, as they go out, let's take our Bibles this morning, go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And going to continue through what we started last week. We started a series in spiritual gifts, and going to be looking at each spiritual gift now, kind of one by one as we move throughout the series. And so just keep in mind what we're trying to do. Oh, by the way, it's Friend Day. Are you glad to be here? Did you invite some friends? We passed out a whole bunch of invitations. I'm excited about the day. This morning was wild. Stuff breaking, stuff not working. People trying to heat up food. It's great. It's just one of those days. I got a paper clip taped to my microphone here to try to help it to work today. And I guess I was too rough on it or something. But anyway, all kinds of stuff going on. Running a little late, but it's good to see you. I'm excited about the day. And normally when it's a stressful morning, it's because it's going to be a good day. That's usually what it is. And so anyway, I appreciate you being here. Looking forward to the fellowship. I tried my wife's meatballs. She made spaghetti and meatballs yesterday. And I'm telling you right now, those are about the best meatballs I think I've ever eaten. And so I'm looking forward to getting some of those here in a little while. It's going to be a good day. All right, Romans 12. So we started this series, a little sub-series, if you will, in spiritual gifts. We started it last week, and last week was really an introduction. And really what we're trying to do is identify these practical gifts that that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. And he's given every one of us a gift or multiple gifts. But everybody who has been saved does have some gifts. So don't say, well, I'm not gifted. You're gifted in some way. And we'll find out what that is. But now we're going to go through each of the gifts individually. So today is the gift of prophecy. We're going to look at the gift of the prophet. And so it may be today that you go, hey, this isn't my gift. Okay, just learn about it. It's okay if it's not yours. Learn about it. Because you're not going to maybe have every gift. That no one has every gift. Maybe other than maybe the Apostle Paul or somebody. But most of us just are gifted. And you'll see. As we go through, there's going to be a lesson or two that you really connect with. And you're like, this is me. This is how God made me. This is the gift that he's given me. And it's going to be an encouragement. But it's good for us to know all the gifts and what the Bible teaches about them. And so we're going to look at the gift of prophecy this morning, or the gift of the prophet, rather. And so if you will, if you're in Romans 12 there, let's read verse 1 through 8. We're going to, for the next several weeks, we're going to continue to read this short passage, verses 1 through 5, because they really lay out the purposes of these gifts, okay? But we'll go down through verse 8 so we make sure and include that gift of the prophet. So verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So before we now get into the gifts, understand a couple of things about these verses that we just read. In verses 1 and 2, verse 1 in particular, he's telling us that our service to him is reasonable, that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Because of what Christ has done for us, it's reasonable that we would live for him and that we would serve him. Verse number 2, it's also reasonable that we would not be worldly, but that we would allow God to transform us, that we would become what he has destined us to become, those that are saved, to be like Christ. Then in verses 3, 4, and 5, he talks about how each person is gifted, however, gifted differently. Verse 4 says, for we have many members in one body, speaking about the church, the body, and many members, and all members have not the same office. And you'll see today, we're going to look at the gift of the prophet. A church that was 100% prophets would be a miserable church to be in. I'll just tell you, it would. If we didn't have anybody with helps and mercy and and exhortation, and it was all prophets, it'd be a miserable place to be. And so you'll see that we need all the members. We need all the different gifts, and God puts them together in such a way as to accomplish his purpose. So there's gifts given to everyone. Verse 3, every man that is among you, grace is given. Okay, then verse 4, we have these members, a lot of members, but different offices. Now look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Okay, so we have differing gifts. Here, and then he goes off and he lists a few of these practical gifts. Whether prophecy, that's the one we're going to look at today. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And some people would call the gift of ministry the gift of serving or the gift of helps. We'll look at that in a little while or in a few weeks. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So he lists off these gifts, and then he gives a little bit of a caveat for each one, okay? Prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Notice, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So the gifts are listed there. And so we're going to talk about the gift of the prophet this morning. But before we get into it, let's just ask the Lord to help us. And so let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you for the day that you've given us. And Lord, I know it's a special day for our church, being Friends Sunday. We're excited about that. We're excited about all the invitations that went out over the last several weeks to invite people to this service. But Lord, really, we're not doing anything different than we always do. We're just going to come together. We're going to sing. We're going to hear from your word. But Lord, that's the prescription that you've given us. That's the design. And so, Father, I just pray today that as your word says, by the foolishness of preaching, Lord, that your will would be accomplished and that your word would minister to our hearts. And Father, I pray even in this time of Sunday school, as we look at the gift of the prophet here and as we try to understand that you've gifted us so that we might serve. Lord, help us to learn. And then as we learn our gifts and as we learn about the different gifts in the church, help us to then serve according to how you've gifted us. I do believe that the church would function very well if we just went back to your design and served among our gifts. And so I pray you'd help us with that. Please be with me as I teach today and preach. I just pray now that you calm my heart. Lord, all the distractions of the morning, it's just a busy morning. And I just pray that you'd help me not to be distracted. And Lord, just to tune in for a few minutes on what you'd have us to say and hear. I pray for your help now, as I always need it. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the gift of the prophet, and we went over some of this last week. So I'm gonna hope that you remembered some of the introduction message. There's practical gifts, and then there are the supernatural or the signs and wonders gifts. And so we dealt with those last week. We're going to look a little bit more at that today, but not much, because the point of these is that we would understand that the practical gifts are given to us today for the service of the Lord. And we have these gifts. They're very real. They're very supernatural. They're very much God empowering us to do certain things through his Spirit. But they're not the signs and wonders gifts, tongues and healing and things like that. But there are some of these gifts that were both a supernatural gift that was given during that time of prophecy, as we said last week. But that also the gift is, it can be practical. So that's similar to the gift of, or that's true with the gift of prophecy. So I think I just included an introduction paragraph in your notes there. And oh, by the way, if you haven't yet gotten a spiritual gifts test, okay, I handed them out last week, and you can take the test. You can't fail it, okay? Don't worry about that. You can't fail it, but if you'll take the test, it'll help to point you in the right direction to what maybe your gift is or your gifts are. And what you'll find is you'll score high in a gift or two or three, but you'll score very low in a couple of others. And so my encouragement to you as you take that test is just to be honest, okay? Just to be honest. Okay, so when it asks you something like this, I love to give I would even lower my standard of living so that I could give to see the Lord's work go forward. Now, in your heart of hearts, you might say, I want to be that. But the question is, are you? Okay, that's the question. Now, we'd all feel guilty putting a one there and being like, well, that's not really me. Ask yourself, in the last few years, how many times have you given that way sacrificially? And then just answer honestly. I'm not looking over your shoulder, and not everyone is gifted with the gift of giving. But I think sometimes because we want all the gifts, you know, even Paul said, covet the gift, you know, want the gifts. We want the gifts, so we might have a tendency to just want to put a five on everything. Oh, yeah, that's me. I do that. That's not going to help you. Okay, what we're trying to do is just figure out how the Lord's gifted you. And so just be honest in the responses, add it all up. And by the way, it's not like a black and white test where it's like, yes, this is your gift, but it should help point you in the right direction. And then when you put parallel that with some of the teaching that I'll be doing over the gifts, I just know you're going to have a gift or two that really you're like, okay, that's me. You were talking about me today, okay? And so make sure you get the spiritual gifts test. If you don't have it yet, I put some out there. They're by the little window as you walk out. They're on that ledge right there. And so grab one of those. But okay, now back to the gift of prophecy. So prophecy was both a supernatural or they're all supernatural. They're all given to us by God. And so they're all supernatural empowerment. In other words, these are not talents, okay? He also gives us talents, but these aren't talents. These are gifts. These are given to you at salvation. It's a Holy Spirit given thing. So they're all supernatural, but there are some gifts that were like signs and wonders gifts, like Paul being bitten by a snake or the apostles drinking poison and not hurting them. Those are supernatural signs and wonder type gifts. We saw last week that the time for those gifts has ceased because of the completion of the word of God. But there are some gifts that were both signs and wonders, and they're practical. And that's the gift of prophecy. And basically in your introduction paragraph there, it explains that. But I like to say it like this. There's a difference between foretelling and forthtelling. Okay? Foretelling is the signs and wonder gift of prophecy. This is the Old Testament prophet who, without the written word of God, would stand and say, thus saith the Lord. And then what he said, the words coming out of his mouth, were new revelation from God. And so you would see this in the Old Testament days, and Elijah and Elisha, they would literally speak God's word because they didn't have a completed Bible. And so as they were speaking, God would use them. They would have this ability to speak the words of God. Also, everyone who wrote the Bible did this. That's what they would do. They would hear from the Holy Spirit, and they would write down the word of God. The scriptures are very clear that today there is no new revelation being given. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall cease. And that which is perfect, the word of God, is come. It's complete. And we have the scriptures in our hands. So there's no more foretelling today. There's no more, you have your Bible, but listen, God left something out. I got something to tell you today. There's none of that that happens today. Now, it happens today, but it's not from God. God's not going to come and share with a person today something to say that doesn't line up with his word. It's just not going to happen. Not only that, the prophets of old would actually predict future events. They would tell a king or a leader, you're going to die in this many years or this many days. That's something that they were given to do in that time. That's foretelling. Okay, that's telling of the future or speaking new revelation from God. What the gift of the prophet is in a practical sense, as it's given in Romans chapter number 12, is forthtelling. So very simply, it's taking the written and completed word of God and having an understanding of that word, and then being able to, and also with the gift of the prophet, having the burning desire to preach the word of God, to forthtell the word of God. So the gift of the prophet is one that he takes the word of God and he has an understanding of it. But then not only that, he has an urgency to want to speak it and to preach it and to forthtell. And so it's very similar to the Old Testament prophet or the signs and wonders type prophet, but it's not foretelling, it is forthtelling. So I've given this definition, and what I've done is I just, in all my study, I kind of put together a bunch of different things from good things that I thought nailed it, and I kind of put it together in one sentence. And so the definition I wrote down is the prophet is one who has the God-given ability and urgency to deliver the truths of God to God's people verbally. I know this is a run-on. Get over it, okay? Bringing correction, reproof, instruction, edification, and repentance. So a couple of things that are important about the gift of the prophet. It's this person has a God-given ability, so they are able to take and understand the scriptures and kind of see the right and the wrong, and they have an ability then to articulate it. But not only that, and this is important because in the scriptures, you always see this with the gift of the prophet, they have an urgency to deliver that truth. It's like when Jeremiah said, he tried to be quiet, right? He tried not to say anything, but his word was like what? A fire in his bones is how it's described. It was going to get out one way or the other. And so Jeremiah, he decided at some point, no, I've got to say what God has laid on my heart. So it's the ability to say it, but it's also the urgency to say it. And we read in Romans 12 here in verse 6 that it's listed among those practical gifts. We won't turn there for sake of time, but 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10 lists this gift also as signs and wonder type gift that we've already talked about. But notice, if you go to 1 Corinthians 14, I do want to look at this one real quick, because this one really shows you, and this shows you the purpose of the gift of prophecy, okay? The purpose of the gift of prophecy. All these practical gifts are for a practical purpose in the church. They are here to help us. They're here to help you. They're here to help me. These are things that God has put in people that is meant to be a benefit to our Christian walk and our Christian life. And so we don't want to miss the sort of the purpose of it. And one of the places that you see the purpose is in 1 Corinthians 14. And what Paul is doing in this chapter is he's comparing the gift of tongues to the gift of the prophet. All right, now, a couple things going on you need to understand. In the time that he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, the word of God is still being written, okay? And I'm not real smart, but I know this, that's 1 Corinthians. You understand Paul also wrote 2 Corinthians. Which one do you think he wrote first? See, like I said, you don't have to think real hard, but I'm just saying the scripture was not yet complete. There are still men of God who are inscribing the New Testament, writing the Bible. So some of those signs and wonders gifts were still around, and they were still being used, as Mark 16 says, to confirm the word with signs following. So in Corinth, they were speaking in tongues. And you say, well, there's a New Testament church speaking in tongues. We should speak in tongues today. I don't want to have to explain it again, right? You understand? The Bible was still being written there. But what's interesting about what Paul tells the church in Corinth is they weren't speaking in tongues properly. They were doing it all wrong. And by the way, they were doing it like folks try to do it today. And they were doing it wrong. And so what he's going to do is he's going to take the church at Corinth, which he's upbraiding for not correctly using the gift of tongues, and he's going to compare that to the gift of practical prophecy. Notice verse 1. It says this, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. So remember, just refresh your mind. In Acts chapter 2, Peter speaks in tongues. There's a bunch of people there, a bunch of Jews there from all different parts, and they all have different language and dialect. And it lists them out, all the different people groups there, but they all have different language. And so Peter gets up with one voice. So imagine in this room there were 12 different languages. So you couldn't understand, only one person here going to understand me. Everyone else is speaking some other language. Peter gets up and he just preaches, but he doesn't preach 12 sermons. He preaches one. And as he says each word, each person there hears that word in their language. Now that is a miracle. That's the gift of tongues. No one is doing that today, by the way. There's no interpretation of tongues. And what Paul is saying here in in verse 2 is like, no one understands what you're saying. It's not helping anyone. So he's like, I would rather that ye prophesy. Look, verse 3. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He's like, the prophet is preaching the word of God to so that you have understanding, so that you are exhorted, so that you are edified, built up, and comforted. So he's like, when someone preaches God's word and it's made clear to them and they can understand it as the prophet does, that brings a building of that person, an edification. Notice verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth who? Himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edification. Again, this gift was still in play during this time. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. He's saying, if I come to your church and I preach a message in tongues, and you're sitting there and you're like, wow, that guy is so spiritual. Man, I don't know what he's saying, but he must be like right there with God because he can do this thing. You leave very much helped, don't you? No, you leave going, why can't I do that, right? What's going on with him? You know, it's self-edification, not church edification. So he's just comparing the two. And then he gives these different things about, if a trumpet, verse 8, give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? They used trumpets in those days to, they didn't have radios and all that to get to the front of the battle and tell folks what to do. So they'd blow a trumpet. But if the trumpeter doesn't know the calls and he blows an uncertain sound, it's confusing. And so what Paul is saying is what we need is some prophets. What we need is some people who will just take God's word and clearly articulate that word to the people so that those people can understand God's word and therefore be edified and built up by it. Notice what Paul says in verse 19. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So I'm not here to really kick rocks at the gift of tongues, although I do believe it has completely ceased for the day. What I'll tell you is this, we need the gift of the prophet. We need someone who will, with understanding and clarity, give us the word of God that we might hear it and it might edify us. And that's the purpose of the gift of tongues and all the gifts is the edification of the church. None of these gifts are look what I can do type gifts. It's not what they're for. In fact, when the miraculous gifts were in play, when they were being used, and God was giving those gifts, those weren't look at me type gifts either. Healers in those days actually healed. I mean, people they just wanted to get into Peter's shadow. They all edified. And so the purpose of the gifts is edification. So I said the church needs someone to deliver the truth of God's word in such a way as to bring a response. The prophet challenges the church members to stay away from sin, to stay close to God, pointing out error where he finds it. His message comes with power and boldness. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I gave a couple examples. And by the way, these notes I'm giving you, this is going to be our template for each of the gifts. We're going to look at we'll have an introduction. We're going to look at the definition. Going to look at the purpose of the gift and kind of what it does for the church. As you can guess, the gift of the prophet, most pastors and preachers have the gift of the prophet. It's part of the job. There's something in someone who's called to preach. There's something in you that just wants to preach. Years and years ago, and I'll tell the story another time when I have a little more time and it's a little more applicable. But years and years ago, we were serving at a church for a very short time, and basically we got a little bit hurt, and we got burned out on ministry, if I tell you any of the story, I won't be able to give the context, and so it kind of it'll sound more like gossip than it will be helping you. So I just not, but we got hurt. And I told my wife, I'll never forget, I told my wife, we're going to go to this other church because I already knew where we were going to go. And I said, I'm going to sit in the pew. That's what I'm going to do. Now I was already called to preach. And I already had the gifts that God's given me and I already knew what I was supposed to do. But I told her, I'm done. This is people, right? People are too much and I'm just done. I'm just going to sit in the pew. Well, I can tell you this, that lasted about 5 weeks. And there was something, I was miserable. And there was something burning inside that said, you're not supposed to be sitting in the pew, bro. And before long, I was going and begging the pastor what I could do to help and get involved. And the next thing you know, I'm right back in the swing of things. It's in you if you have it. 1 Thessalonians 5, are you there? I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. If you're called to the ministry, don't try to tell God that you're going to sit in the pew. It won't work out very well. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. I just point this verse out because it's not just that they had the word of God, but that the word of God was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's the gift of prophecy. Look at chapter 2 and look at verse 13. The word of God is effectual. It's there to make a difference. And so for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Notice these words, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know, God's word is supposed to make a difference in your life. We don't come to church as an exercise of religion. You understand that? We don't come to church today as an exercise of religion. Well, I did my thing. I can check it off of my calendar. And by the way, I like calendars and I like checking stuff off my calendar. That's not why we come to church. We don't come to church as an exercise in religion. We come to church to hear two reasons, really, to worship God corporately together, but also to hear from God's word that it might be effectual in our life. It might make a difference. We should be listening to what's taught and preached so that we could take those things and implement them into our life, make changes, get better, get closer to God. And so the word of God with Holy Spirit power is effectual. It changes us. Now, let's look at some Bible characters. And I gave you references here, and I want you to, you know, on your own time, if you would like, or, you know, add to your Bible reading or your Bible study time, look up these references and you'll see that these men, and by the way, there's a lot of Bible characters that have the gift of prophecy. So you could just almost throw a dart because most of the characters of the Bible are prophets in some way or another. So there's a lot that have it. But I gave you Peter, Stephen, and Paul because, and I gave you these three examples because in each of these examples, they are forth-telling. I mean, go read those chapters. Chapter 2 of Acts, chapter 7. Actually, you could read chapter even 6, where Stephen is called into question. He begins to preach. And then his message, his sermon is in chapter 7. You could read Acts 26. What you're going to see is each of these men, they simply preached the word of God. They went back and they said, hey, remember back what God said in the Old Testament. And they reviewed God's word, and then they preached it to be applicable to the people they were talking to. And so they exercised the gift of prophecy by not foretelling, although Peter wrote a book, and Paul wrote quite a few. So they did some foretelling as well. But in these examples, they were just forthtelling. They were just being the preacher. They were just being the prophet. They used the scripture. But they used the scripture in such a way as to make a difference to those that they were preaching to. So those are some characters who had this gift. All right, now we're going to go through, and this is maybe the fun part of these lessons. Are y'all having fun? Do y'all have fun in church? I know I do. Yes. Do you need notes? Oh, if you look at Bible characters who had this gift, there are some scriptures listed right under that, and you could read those. But we're going to go to the characteristics of the prophet now. So we're going to look at some things about the prophet. And some of these are characteristics, okay? So these are, you're going to say, okay, is this me? Is this not me? It's kind of thing. And then we're going to look at some cautions as well. So characteristics. Number one, the prophet sees the world black and white, right and wrong, with very little or no gray area. They always seem to have an answer. It's like, nope, that's the answer to that. That's the answer to that. Kind of matter-of-factly. Just, hey, this is... Oh, you know what? Here's your problem. And then they tell you. Now, do you always appreciate when someone does that? Okay, we'll get to the cautions in just a little bit. It's like when you and your wife are having a discussion and you tell her, hey, calm down. This is the issue. That never works, men. Like, never. Yeah, but sometimes the prophet is just everything sort of simple. It's like right, wrong, black, white. It's all very cut and dry. Okay? It's and by the way, that's needed for the prophet. You don't want wishy-washy prophets. It's just the way it is. But there's some caution we'll talk about in just a second. The second thing is this. The prophet is usually a gifted speaker who's very persuasive in speech. And so it's important because you have the gift of knowledge and the gift of the teacher, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. The gift of wisdom even. There are folks who have great understanding, but they have a much more difficult time expressing it, or maybe they just don't have the desire. The gift of knowledge, one of we're going to dovetail some of these, but the gift of knowledge, one of the warnings to those that have the gift of knowledge is they can be content to just sort of know everything about the Bible, but they don't necessarily have to tell anybody. Well, again, who does that edify? Yeah, them, it's not bad, but they're not helping. We'd be much more helped if that person with the gift of knowledge would kind of tell us something that they know, okay? And so the prophet has that desire. I heard it. It was pretty recently. I forget who said it, but the public speaking, most people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of death. Someone told me that the other day, and that's true. The number, it's higher on the list of what people are fearful of. But the prophet, it's not that he enjoys public speaking, but he has a burden to do it. I know a lot of preachers with the gift of prophecy that are very nervous to get up in front of a crowd, but they have something in them that says, get up in front of a crowd and say it. And so there's this aspect of speaking. Number three, prophets have a keen ability to identify sin or evil. That's why most people don't enjoy bumping into their pastor at the grocery store. You know, I haven't bumped in. Have I bumped into you in the grocery store yet? Oh, yeah, you guys are selling Girl Scout cookies. That was a good day to bump into you, though. You know, I've had people, I bumped into them at the grocery store. Thankfully, none of you folks, and not you, absolutely not, bumped into them. And the next thing you know, they're standing in front of their cart. And I'm like, do you always stand in front of your cart, no matter who you're talking to? It's like, what's the problem here? I'm not looking at your cart. I'm trying to get my groceries. They know something about the gift of the prophet. Number four, those with the gifts of prophecy enjoy speaking in public and do so with boldness. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I know guys that don't necessarily enjoy speaking in public, but they enjoy the opportunity, if that makes sense. They know that they need to, and they enjoy the opportunity. There's definitely a connection between the need to the message and the need to declare it. That's what number five says. The prophet will feel compelled to express their thoughts and belief verbally in regard to right and wrong. They'll feel compelled to say something. We'll look at the cautions here in just a moment. But do you think it's a good idea to say everything that comes to your mind? Okay, so if you're a prophet, you're going to feel compelled. But God usually installs a fairly large filter on most prophets. Number six, the prophet has tremendous hatred and very low tolerance for sin, especially lying. That's where that desire, that burden comes from. And in the lying thing, I believe, is connected because there's so many false prophets. And the prophet doesn't want people deceived. The prophet wants people to know the truth. A true prophet doesn't care about a following, by the way. A true prophet doesn't care about who likes them necessarily. The true prophet says, I want that person to be right with God. That's all I want. And so they hate to see people confused, bewildered, or led astray by false prophets, because there are a lot of those. How do you identify a prophet from a false prophet? Here's your guide, right here. Like, that's it. So the Bible tells us a couple things. First of all, if they foretell and it doesn't come true, that tells you all you need to know. But if they forthtell and it's not true, that tells you all you need to know. Okay? So that's how you identify false from true. Okay, number 7. The prophet wants to see people make decisions to get back in the will of God immediately. It's hard for the prophet to understand why someone wouldn't. Right? It's like, this is going on in your life. Here are the consequences of it. Don't you want those consequences to end? Yes. Here's what God says. Do that. I'm not going to do that. The prophet's like, what? I don't understand. You just told me. Here's what you're doing. Here's the consequences. Here's what God's word says. What's the problem? Right? What's the problem? Something that the prophet, he wants to see people make decisions. Number 8, dependence on scriptural truth to validate authority is of great importance to the prophet. There's even examples in the New Testament. There's examples in the Old Testament as well, but examples in the New Testament where someone had the gift of prophecy, they're preaching, and I forget where it is. I should have written it down. It just sort of came to me, the story, but where they another preacher took them aside and taught them in the word more perfectly. That's what it says. In other words, they were preaching, they had the heart, but they were getting a few things wrong. And so they just took them aside and said, hey, let's line the message back up with the scripture in these areas. A true prophet would just say, okay, because I want my message to be in line with the scriptures. Number 9, the prophet has a great concern for the reputation of God. Why are we to behave a certain way? Because our lives are reflections of our Savior. Number 10, prophets find it easy to apply biblical principles. Again, the whole like, okay, there's the answer, do that. Oh, there's the answer, stop doing that. That's hard for people, right? Just as an example, man, my kid's out of control. Okay. Spank them. It's right there in the scriptures. That's what it says. I don't. Who said amen? I need everyone. No, that's what it says. Well, I don't want to do that. Okay, your kids are going to be out of control. To us. See, I've got the gift of prophecy, so it's hard for me. It's hard for me to preach this one because I like to be defensive about who I am, but I know there's some precautions coming. It seems easy to us because it's like, well, that's what he tells us, so we're just going to do it. But we have to season our words with grace. Okay. All right. Now let's look at some misunderstandings, and these are important. So whatever your gift is, there's going to be misunderstandings and precautions to take. Okay, misunderstandings would be someone else is going to judge you wrongly because you behave a certain way or react a certain way. And so prophets in particular, they get categorized a certain way because of the way that they are. And some of it's true and based on truth, but a lot of it's just misunderstanding. And then precaution is more like, okay, you have this gift. Be careful to allow God to have the reins. Be careful to be controlled by the Spirit using this gift. Because all the gifts, I've learned this, and I'm you guys tell me I'm young, but I don't always feel it, but I've learned this. we're always to live by God's word. And I've found this, God's word, you always tend to find a balance. And I'm not talking about a balance between good and evil, okay? But there's a balance. There's prophecy, but there's also mercy. And a prophet has to understand both of those. Otherwise, we'll become something that no one will want to be around, okay? So here's some misunderstandings, precautions. We'll go through these kind of quick. Prophets are often seen as being intolerant, fair, judgmental, fair, insensitive, right? Do you see that? Like, how dare he tell me that plainly? I need time to think of that, you know? Sure. The misunderstanding comes from it's not judgment of you. It's not the prophet thinks less of you. The prophet wants better for you. And that's the difference. I'm going to preach this message and let y'all know how filthy and rotten and terrible you all are. No, it's just the prophet wants better for you. He wants to bring you closer to God. But it can be misunderstood. The second one is, those with this gift can seem disinterested in others' point of view. They are often bad listeners. Think about Jonah. Jonah wouldn't even listen to God. He was a prophet. He was extremely judgmental and intolerant. And he preached a message. He won 120,000 people to the Lord, and he wasn't even happy about it. You got to be cautious as a prophet. He had gone, he was not balanced. He didn't have any of the mercy and grace. Okay. Number three, prophets are very direct, and sometimes their frankness can be viewed as harshness. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But someone with the gift of exhortation, they'll deal with someone's sin as well, but they'll kind of bring them around to it. You know, and that's not bad either. They'll encourage them and they'll bring them around to it. The prophet just says, stop it. You know, you probably need both sometimes. Verse four. It's not a verse. These are not inspired. I wrote these. Number four, prophets tend to group people into categories and have a harder time relating to people as individuals. It's a caution that prophets need to have. Tend to just try to box everybody up. You're in this box, you're in that box, and that's just not reality. Number five, prophets can be impatient, demanding an immediate response. So I told you that prophets, most pastors, preachers are gifted with the gift of prophecy, at least to some extent. And what you should notice as you're reading the Bible, so if you go read the letter to the church at Corinth, Paul, in his introduction, will say, grace and peace from God our Father. You read 1 Thessalonians, Paul will say, grace and peace to you. You read, what's another one? Colossians, grace and peace. Philippians, grace and peace. When he talks to Timothy, he says, Timothy's a young pastor. He says, grace, mercy, and peace. When he talks to Titus, he says, Titus, grace, mercy, and peace. Prophets have to be balanced with mercy. Or else they'll just destroy everyone they come across. That thing about edification and building up, you can certainly use the same gift to tear everything down. And so a prophet has to have a mercy. And that's why I believe Paul included that in those pastoral epistles. Hey, don't forget, with all your preaching, with all your harshness, with all your black and white, to the point, in your face stuff, remember mercy. Number six, public boldness and a strict standard can sometimes hinder them having close relationships. Truth is, a prophet sometimes is kind of hard for the prophet to find close friends. You don't want to hang out with someone who you think's always wanting to preach at you, right? And so it's just one of the precautions. And then the last little point in our outline, we'll have this: where does the prophet serve best in the church? And again, there are people gifted with the gift of prophecy that aren't in these places, but primarily the gift of the prophet will be found in the preacher, evangelist, revival speakers, etc., soul winning team, that kind of thing. And the reason I include that is because as we go through these gifts, I want you to find, you're going to go, okay, that's my gift, and then I want you to find a place in our church to serve. And so I'm going to have a list with everyone where, hey, this is my gift, where do I serve? Well, here's a list to be praying about, okay? All right, let's stop there. I went a little over, but we started late. So, you guys, we have church at 11 anyway, right? So what does it matter if we're in here or out there? No, thank you for your attention. Lord, I do thank you for gifting your people. And I pray over the next course of the next several weeks, you'll help us all to identify how you've gifted us so that we can understand what you've put into us, and then further so we could implement and use the gifts for your honor and glory, for the edification of the church. Lord, these people in this room, I need these people, and I need these people to be exercising their gifts for my building and for my benefit, for my Christian growth, Lord. I believe you put us together in that way. And so I pray you'd help us all to find our gift and then begin to use it. Lord, bless the day. We pray that you'd have everything in your hand, that you'd be glorified in what we do. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.